to us. But this morning, our text is from the Gospel of John. This is the same text we read in our sunrise service, but it's not the same sermon, I promise. If you were here for both, you're thinking, I can sleep through the second one, but it's different a little bit. But it's the story of the resurrection, which is why we've gathered today to hear that story, and it's a story that we could never tire of. So if you'd follow along with me as I read aloud, John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My experience of childhood is very different from the experience of my own children. As I'm sure the experience of my childhood is different than the childhood of many of you. Just for one example, my kids get chauffeured to school in a climate-controlled vehicle. I had to ride the bus. Some of you had to walk 10 miles barefoot in the snow, uphill, both directions. But there are some things that I imagine are not unique to any particular generation, but to every generation that have always been a part of childhood. One of those things are Aesop's fables. When I was a child, I had a book called Aesop's Fables. My kids have a different book called Aesop's Fables. Some of you who are a little older than me also probably had a book called Aesop's Fables. A few of you had stone tablets upon which were chiseled at the top the words Aesop's Fables. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, stone tablets are like these. No, not stone tablets. Thank you. Aesop's Fables are a collection of short stories that feature talking animals that are designed to teach important lessons to children. They're attributed to a man named Aesop. He was a slave and a storyteller who lived in ancient Greece over 2,500 years ago and is considered to be the author or at least the compiler of all of these stories. Some of you have heard of the more familiar titles, The Tortoise and the Hare, The Ant and the Grasshopper, The Fox and the Grapes. Another one that you have probably heard of is The Dog and Its Reflection. It's a simple story, if you haven't heard it, about a dog who somehow acquired a very large bone, and he immediately took off with it toward his home. But in order to get there, he had to cross a stream. As he was walking across the bridge that went across the stream, he stopped, looked down into the water, and saw his reflection. Only he didn't realize that's what he was seeing. He thought that he was looking at another dog, carrying a bone even larger than the one in his mouth. And wanting that bone, he opened his mouth to bark at the other dog, and his bone fell into the water, sinking to the bottom. Now, the moral of that story is fairly obvious. It's a lesson about the importance of contentment, being satisfied with what you have. And the implicit warning in the story is that if you aren't content with what you have, and you let it go in pursuit of something better, you can end up with nothing. It's not bad advice, especially if that something better is an illusion. But what if it isn't? Imagine with me for a moment that there really was a dog under the water. That he really was holding a bone that was far better than the one possessed by the dog on the bridge. And it was just there for the taking. Would being content with what we have and holding on to it as tightly as we can still be good advice if it causes us to miss out on something so much better? I wonder if Mary had a copy of Aesop's Fables as a child. I wonder if Mary was familiar with the story, the dog, and its reflection. As John tells us, Mary was the first one who discovered that Jesus' body was missing. She had gone to the tomb early in the morning while it was still dark to anoint his body for burial. She had not been able to do it the day before because it was the Sabbath, and so she left as early as she could. And when she got there, she discovered that the stone covering the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. And fearing that Jesus' body had been taken, she ran and told Simon Peter and another disciple who quickly came to investigate. Peter was the first one to go inside. And as soon as he did, he was able to confirm Mary's suspicion. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head folded neatly and placed nearby. The other disciple then went in and he saw the very same thing. And John tells us at that point they believed, but what exactly did they believe? Because it's the story of Easter, we assume they believed that Jesus rose from the dead. But if we look closely, we see that John tells us that at this point they did not yet understand the scriptures that Jesus would rise from the dead. Which leads us to believe that what they believed was that Jesus' body had been taken. Not sure what to do about that, they returned home. But Mary stayed, weeping outside the tomb. Mary's devotion to Jesus is admirable. She only wanted to treat his body with the respect that it deserved, with the utmost care that she could offer under the circumstances. This much is clear in the way she responds to the two angels when they asked her why she was crying. And then when she turned from the tomb and found herself face to face with Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. And when he asked her why she was crying, her response was the same. All she wanted to do was demonstrate her devotion to her Lord. Can you imagine what it must have been like for one so devoted when Jesus called her by name, graciously opening her eyes to the truth of who he was and proving that he had risen from the dead? How amazing that moment must have been for Mary. No one who has lost a loved one is surprised at the way she reacted. No one is surprised that her gut reaction was to cling to him, to wrap her arms around him, to hold him fast, and to never let him go. Which is why it is surprising that Jesus told her not to hold on to him, that Jesus told her to let him go. Now, why would Jesus say such a thing? Well, you see, his resurrection was only the beginning. He had so much more work to do to fulfill God's plan of offering the gift of salvation to the world. The gift of salvation to Mary, the gift of salvation to you and to me. He had to go be with his Father. He had to make way for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit that would make it possible for God to live inside each and every one of us. He had to go be with his Father so that the Holy Spirit could come and forgive us and cleanse us from within of all our impurities, so that the Holy Spirit could break the power of sin over us, so that the Holy Spirit could enable us to understand the teachings of Jesus, so that the Holy Spirit could empower us to apply those teachings to our lives, so that the Holy Spirit, through becoming one with our spirit, would make it possible for us to live forever with Him. It must have sounded to Mary as if it was something too good to be true, like a reflection in the water. She was content to live the rest of her life in the garden, holding on tightly to her risen Lord. But there was so much more to come. She would have to let go to experience all that Jesus had to give her. Now, some of you that are here this morning have not been to church in a very long time. And yes, I did say that, and I thought about whether I should say it. Maybe not long enough. But I thought it was okay for me to say it, because I know my heart, and I know I'm not coming from a place of judgment. I have not always been a pastor my entire adult life. I have not always had to be at church because it was my job. I know what it's like to juggle the responsibilities of family and work and play and somehow try to make time for God in the midst of it all. But what I want to say to you is this. Don't be content to come into God's presence and to hear from Him and to worship Him and to be among His people for only a few days of the year. Let go of your occasional faith and reach out for more of God in your life. You know, the same could be said to many of you who are in the habit of attending church on a regular basis. When God is a part of your weekly routine, it's easy to think that there's nothing more to be had in terms of a relationship with God, but nothing could be further from the truth. Don't be content to spend time with God for 1 hour each week. Make a conscious effort to grow closer to Him. Read your Bible every day. Spend time in prayer. Serve in some type of ministry. Attend Bible study or a Sunday school class. Let go of your comfortable faith and reach for more of God in your life. You know, really, this message is for all of us. In so many areas of our lives, contentment is a good thing, but not when it comes to the gift of salvation that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. We should always want more of what God has for us. We should always want to know Him more. We should always want to know more of His love and more of His power, more of His grace and more of His mercy, more of His forgiveness, more of His redemption, and more of His transformation in our lives. And there will always be more. There will always be more for us to receive from Him until our lives come to an end or until He returns, whichever comes first. But we have to let go of our contentment with the God we know and take a leap of faith and dive into the water in pursuit of the God we've yet to experience. Now, I recognize that there may be some here this morning who find everything I've said, everything that's taken place this morning, completely irrelevant, because you would say that you are not a person of faith. You have not put your trust in Jesus and followed Him. You're here to make somebody happy, or you're here because you think that this is a good place to be on Easter Sunday. You've done it all your life. You know, why stop now? Or maybe because you've been promised a really good meal that involves ham, and you don't want to miss it. If you haven't already, I promise you, someday you will discover that whoever or whatever you believe in or subscribe to has not given you the meaning and purpose in your life that you thought it would. I have good news for you this morning. The reflection that you see in the water and in the lives of sincere followers of Jesus that you have known, that reflection of something that is so much better than what you have, it's not a reflection, it's real. God really does love you. He really did send His Son to die for you. He really did rise from the dead so that you could have eternal life. He really is alive. And He wants to live in you. But you have to let go of what you've been holding on to and receive the gift that He wants to give you. Now, this morning, I know of at least four people in this room that are not content. They want more of what God has for them. And they've decided to give testimony to this truth by submitting to the waters of baptism. In just a moment,